Chuck Chad Freestyle for Saturday, April 25th, 2009. Did I say 2009 last time? I think I did. It is early again, although not as early as last time. It's only 6 a.m. instead of 4 a.m. And I am on the same stretch of road I was last time, only going the other direction. So does that mean if you play the last podcast backwards, you'll hear this one? Or this one backwards and you hear that one? I am on my way home from the Milwaukee airport. It's daylight at least. The sun is about to break. When I landed an hour ago, it was dark. And I am still on West Coast time, so for me it feels like 4 a.m. So this is very familiar. Oh, what a week it's been. Out in San Francisco, technically Oakland. Had a great week. When I got to Milwaukee, we'll start at the beginning. From where we left off, previously on Freestyle. When I got to Milwaukee, the flight was canceled. Yeah, Midwest Airlines flight to Kansas City and then to San Francisco. The Kansas City leg was, the leg was broken. Not a good way to start. So I got up at 3, drove for an hour and a half, 2 hours, to find out the flight was... Fortunately, I was the first one in line at the counter, and the lady was just getting to work. She looked, she couldn't find anything, she was looking for alternatives, there wasn't a whole lot of choice. She said, I can get you to Phoenix. And then what, walk? So, about 20 minutes later, after looking around and more people gathering at the counter in the same situation... Midwest was fortunate enough to find another plane. They got it in the database. And we booked all the same passengers on the other plane, which caused us a delay of less than an hour. They said they would hold the plane in Kansas City. And we actually landed on the ground, well, 45 minutes, 50 minutes behind schedule. Not too bad for a bad start to the day. And it was nice going through Kansas City in rapid succession, zero layover. It was literally walk off one plane, go down about 3-4 gates. Barely had time to make a restroom break, which was necessary at that point after being up so early. And things worked out all right. Caught the shuttle from San Francisco Airport to Marriott City Center, just down the street, the Marriott Courtyard on Broadway in Oakland. Nice little place in the middle of Chinatown. I say that because everywhere there was a Chinese grocery or some type of Asian food. Very good dining. Awesome food. Wow. Just terrific stuff. We ate at Yoshi's for sushi. Was it Tuesday night? Monday night? Monday night. Monday was Yoshi's? I can't remember. It's all kind of a blur. Let me just back up and say that the National Park Service Rangers are a great group of people. Great group of people. They are extremely passionate about what they do. They often refer to themselves as interpreters internally. I'd never heard that term until I started working on this project. They interpret the raw information that may not be recognized by the mass public. And the... it's so hard to focus at 6 a.m. after long flight. Very little sleep last night. Caught the red eye back. So that's... If this is a bit scatterbrained, you'll know why. So a great group of people... many of them had met before, many have not. Some have met online, and this is the first time they met in person. Wide range of podcasting expertise, anywhere from never heard the term before. Okay, well, they heard the term because they had to sign up for the class. But never listened to one, don't know what it is, to listen to them. Some have dabbled around in creating content. nice thing about this was they have their own CMS system, a content management system. I guess that's a bit redundant, isn't it? CMS system. Since the S is for system, it's like saying LCD display or Sahara Desert. They've got their own way to manage that, albeit they do need to create their own RSS files. So everybody got a copy of Podcasting for Dummies second edition. A few people asked me to sign it, which was very nice. I suspect a few remembered after I left on Friday that, oh crap, I forgot. But such is life. Great group of people. Dominic Cardea from Haleakala was the ringleader. Probably second in command, I'd have to say, was Ranger Craig Glasner from Alcatraz. He's been a longtime Technorama listener. I know he listens to this podcast, and as do many other people. And I appreciate that. Monday, I felt, got off to a tough start. I led the most of the morning discussion, and it was a bit technical. I think we frightened a few people at that point. But Neil made a nice... Herbert did the video portion in the afternoon and did a great job of getting people re-energized. At the end of each day, we took a look at what worked well and things that could be improved upon. That was one of the things noted, that it was a little bit too technical. So if I do something like this again, starting out with things like what are podcasts, I did that. What are the benefits of them? Why would you listen to them? Why would you produce them? And try to get more into the park perspective of doing that. We did discover a lot of these along the way throughout the week. Great, great group of people. Some with, how should I say, a similar sense of humor or warped sense of humor. Other people a little more... serious, but most people were lighthearted. There was no problem with feedback, even lighthearted or otherwise, in the class to about 18 to 20 people. That mix of young, old, men, women. The road is making an interesting humming noise. I hope that's not indicative of something, like I ran over something and maybe the tire's going flat. We'll see. This could be an interesting tire changing podcast in a moment. Where was I? Tuesday was what was Tuesday? Tuesday was hardware. We talked about computers and microphones and Neil talked about cameras and microphones. Audio is extremely important in video. For those of you who've seen the Computer History Museum episode that Craig and I did, audio was pretty poor. I am so inspired that I may sell the camcorder I've got, go out and get one that's got a standard audio jack on it so I can plug in an external microphone. We'll see how that goes. We've got to get a little more revenue in the podcast kitty to make some expenditures like that. But it's always easier when you can sell the old gadget while it's working, unlike most of my previous camcorders where I just ran them till they died and then had to shell out the big bucks to get another one. So I've just got a conventional home handheld hard drive camcorder. Works well for the family videos. That was the radio telling me I've been on pause too long. I was listening to a few podcasts right after getting out of the airport. So, Tuesday was hardware. Wednesday was software. I talked about Audacity. Neil talked about Adobe Premiere Elements. There's so many Adobe products. Elements is kind of... across, for those of you who are familiar with iMovie, kind of across between the old iMovie 6, where you had a timeline and a scene line, and iMovie 08, where It has the newer looking interface. Not a bad tool. Gets the basics done. Nicer than Movie Maker. And it's got some decent basic things to get the job done. I think it was $179 or $199. Yeah, that's about the same price as Final Cut Pro or Final Cut Express. So a Wednesday was software, and the people kind of got inundated with a lot of information. It is a lot of information to learn in just a couple of days. But we wanted them to get familiar with the concepts, not necessarily the tool. And based on what they turned out, they're familiar. They know enough to be dangerous. Earlier in the week, we divided up into teams and started our projects. The projects was we were going down to the, let's see if I can get this right, after 5 days, the San Francisco Maritime National Historical Park. I think I got that right. That's the place with all the big ships. The Belclutha, the C.A. Thayer, the Eureka, the Hercules, number of old historic ships. I had been there in the early 90s with Donna, pre-kids, for my brother's first wedding. Didn't know it was a national park at the time. So Thursday was our field trip down there. Originally, we were trying to go to Alcatraz, but that would have taken a lot of extra travel time. So 7:30 a.m. Thursday morning, we all meet at the Marriott City Center, where some people were staying and the other people were on the other end of the block at the courtyard. We all meet there, hop on the BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, take the subway over to the Embarcadero, and then attempt to catch... That left us on Market Street, I think so. And we had to walk a couple of blocks to catch a trolley down to Fisherman's Wharf. Well, rangers are good at navigating in the woods, but there's much to be desired about navigating in the urban setting. I didn't even have my... What's the word I'm looking for? The carometer. I was just kind of blindly following, going, hey, you guys, lead on. But it was fun. We walked the wrong way for a couple of blocks, turned around and said, nope, it's that way. Got down to the Embarcadero, hopped on one of the trolleys, not the cable cars, but it was a trolley car. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough room for everybody, and there is a bit of audio that I'm going to try and get from Michael, one of the students, who was carrying around this very Zoom H2, making his own sort of personal diary. And one of his productions for Friday's sort of review was that audio diary, and he did a spectacular job. And it was a good way to show you don't have to have high production value to make a podcast. So we got on the cable car, got down to Fisherman's Wharf. The rest of the people jumped in right behind us in another one that was literally 30 seconds later. Fortunately for them, the money box, where you put your $1.50, was broken, so they got a free ride. And we got the same one, the same free ride on the way back. So navigating in the big city, I had been there before. I like the public transit system in large cities like San Francisco or London. I find it a very effective, cost-effective, and pretty time-effective way to get around. The teams did their thing with gathering video and audio, and for the instructors and facilitators. There were about 5-6 of us. Floated between teams, see who needed assistance. It was very strange because we were on an audio tour, but I was not gathering any material, and it was an interesting perspective to stand back and watch somebody else ask the questions and get the answers, and rewarding. It was very rewarding from that aspect. The teams did a marvelous job, and the park rangers and authorities did a great job. At one point we had Peter, oh, I wrote down his name, but I can't remember. It starts with a K. Kazen? I'll have to look it up. He was singing some sea shanties in the hull of the C.A. Thayer, which is being refitted. It literally looks like a hull with a deck. There's no superstructure, there's no mast, there's no rigging, there's nothing but a black hull sitting very high in the water. But I'll see if I can dig some of that out for a future freestyle. Maybe I could do one in the studio and pipe that in or patch that into this. The afternoon was a little light. People were still getting their material, but really didn't need a whole lot of assistance because they had a game plan. They had a script. They had the video people had a storyboard. They knew what they were after. So Dominic and one of the other facilitators, Patty, and I walked over to Fisherman's Wharf and the Musée de Mécanique. I think I said that right. It's like a mechanical old arcade game museum. A lot of fun. So we got a couple bucks in, couple dollars in quarters each, and walked in, and there's pole position and pong and robotic, the old-time animatronics. If you've ever seen the movie Big, the Zoltar fortune teller, where there's an animatronic in a box. Some of them are rather creepy looking clowns and drunken sailors, and of course fortune tellers. The first few games near the door did not work as expected. Patty put in a quarter for a fortune. She put her hand on a brass plate and nothing happened. Dominic put a quarter into one of these mechanical dioramas. I think it was called, not Death Valley, but the Dead Caravan or something, with a burned out old wagon. Maybe it wasn't burned out. It just looked like it had been sitting there for a while. The cover of the covered wagon was in tatters. There were skeletons on the ground and a cave. And when he put in his quarter, all that happened was the wind blew. I would have thought the skeletons would have got up and danced or something, but a little bit of a letdown. We said, wow, we are in for one bad tourist trap here. But the further in we got, the better it got with some of the older video games. I played a game of Centipede. Dom played Star Wars. Not too bad. And I played Battlezone. I've done better at work. We do have a stand-up version of that. Although it was good to have the green screen and the orange radar section on that game. A lot of fun playing some of these old games. We played, for two quarters, we played a sort of a musical jukebox. Had a player piano and drums, and from an electromechanical standpoint, it was very fascinating. Had a more modern scroll. It wasn't, it was reading the holes in the paper via a light grid, which then fired off vacuum pumps and hoses and things to drive the different instruments. And it played a full like 3 minutes of Stars and Stripes Forever. Then the curator came out and put a couple more coins in, and it played the next song, and it was loud. The H2 was in use by one of the other teams. I stuck the Belkin Tune Talk on the iPod Touch and recorded some audio, but I have not gotten that off because the iTalk program records very well, but it only transfers via wireless, via Wi-Fi, and I do not have... Hang on, I got to speed up and pass this tandem tractor trailer before we get to the construction in... You guessed it! Fond du Lac. There's actually a detour going on right now. I found this out when we came back from Florida, and I don't want to follow this tractor trailer through this detour. It's going to take us a couple miles off track down to, I think it's Highway 151. Anyway, back to the Musée de Mécanique. Played around there for probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half on $5 worth of change. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. If you are down at Fisherman's Wharf, I highly recommend it. Good time. Headed back, got everybody back together, went over to the Buena Vista just up the hill on Hyde Street and had Irish coffee. A couple of those and we were feeling nice. Now, I should mention that when I got to San Francisco, it was unseasonably warm. Hey, maybe the detour's done. Oh, this will save me probably 15 minutes getting home. Good fortune is still smiling. Thank goodness. Got to San Francisco. It was unseasonably warm. 80s. And I think at one point we even reached 90 on Tuesday. And of course, it was snowing back in Appleton. Right now it's about 60 degrees at 20 after 6 in the morning. Sound like a radio DJ. It's 60 degrees at 6:17. Here's the latest news. But that the weather was not to last, both in Appleton, as it is warmed up from snowing temperatures to 60 Fahrenheit, I should say. And the temperatures in San Francisco went the other way. It went from very warm to very cool. Wednesday night, oh my gosh, I can't believe the generosity of the park rangers and the National Park Service. I did this, I should say, for transparency's sake, I did this gratis. There was no charge to the no charge for my services to teach this class. I did it mainly for the experience, for the networking, and I think I've got a friend in every national park now, which is good. I like that. They paid for the hotel and the airfare and whatnot and the meals. So it didn't really cost me a whole lot. Maybe a tip here. But the generosity of the park service was tremendous. Every day, Craig came in with a little trinket. One day it was a tin cup stamped with USP Alcatraz. Like it was from the dining room at Alcatraz. Another day I got a National Park Service volunteer pin. I am now officially a National Park Service volunteer, which is kind of cool. If I put in something like another 500 hours of service, I get a year's free pass or something, but I don't know where I'm going to get 500 hours of service. So we'll leave it at that status. And then Mary Lou, one of the workers there at the regional office in Oakland, presented me with two tickets to go see Ken Burns on Wednesday night in San Francisco. And some of the National Park Service people had seen him in the morning, and this was the 8 p.m. Edition. So I asked Rev Tim. Thank you very much for joining us, Tim. I know he's listening. We have Tim to join us, and he accepted and graciously chauffeured Mark Blackburn and I to, and me, get the grammar straight at 6 a.m., Mark Blackburn and me to the theater where he was showing a 45-minute preview of his upcoming series on the national parks, titled America's National Parks, America's Best Idea. And it's not so much, here is Yellowstone and here is what it's about, or this is Yosemite. It gave a history of, like many Ken Burns things, a history about the people involved with getting it going, keeping it going, the political struggles. And although we only saw small snippets, I'm very, very eager to see this come out. It's due out on September 27th. I'm going to see if I can get a Technorama interview with Ken Burns. He was kind of scarce before and after the presentation. That did save a lot of time. Wow. Sorry, a little bit of ADD as I look around at the traffic. It's still getting brighter in the morning. Overcast. 60 degrees, but it's a different 60 degrees than we have in San Francisco. So we're back to 65 mile an hour speed limit. I'm going to set the cruise control so that I can focus just a wee bit better on the podcast, like I have any focus at all. How are we doing? 25 minutes? I'll try to keep this around 30. So Ken Burns was very interesting, very articulate man, well-spoken. His partner, I believe it's Dayton Dalton, was there. He's the writer for most of this stuff. This series coming up may actually push me over the edge to purchase an HD TV by the fall. So looking forward to that. Somebody's breathing down my neck. I gotta switch lanes back here. Oops. There. Back in the proper lane so this guy pulling a fishing boat can pass me. And then let's fast forward to Friday, which seems like today still, because I didn't really sleep, but whatever, I got up. Friday, the class was pretty much heads down, finishing up their projects, doing the post-production. They had all their material gathered from Thursday. And audio teams asked for a little help, and video teams asked for a little help. Meanwhile, I was doing some work, catching up on email and whatnot. Transferred the email hosting for the Titletown HDI chapter over to Google and set up the accounts and the mail list and whatnot. So that took a couple of hours out of my day, but nice check off thing to have that I don't have to worry about when I get back, because I'm sure it's going to be all craziness. And in the afternoon, we saw the finished products of what the class had produced. Very, very well done. Some were a little rough, but the core of what these people can do is there. They are trained to communicate. They're trained to, as I mentioned, do this interpretive program and tell a story, share a feeling, and share a mood. They're very well set up. I'm really, really eager to see what comes out of these seeds that have been planted this week. And very encouraged by what I saw and the creativity in class this week. Very, I can't say it enough, it very exciting, very thrilling. And they gave me a book called Interpretation, got it right here, for the 21st Century, and they all signed the inside cover. I was very touched by that, with nice messages thanking me for my time, and I think somebody wrote thanks for the laugh track this week. Just sort of a reminder that how this has really been a wonderful week. If I had to do it again, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Had to take off at 5 o'clock, which was when class adjourned. I wish everybody the best in travels. If you're listening to this from the class, you've probably already gotten home. And thank you all very much. The trip back, it was pretty uneventful. Got on the flight from San Francisco, had to hop through LAX. There was a gentleman across the way speaking Chinese who could not get his point across to the flight attendant. He was waving a wallet or something, and sounded, he had about 4 words. One was money. I didn't get much else. His whole family was there, but he was very upset about something while we were taxiing down the tarmac. Turns out that a lady 2 rows back, in back of him, could speak some Chinese. And the message I got was that there was a family, they were on standby, and one of them, I assume daughter, with a 1-year-old baby, was left behind, and they had her wallet, which is a terrible situation to be in, and I can understand why he was upset. And this is the last flight going from San Francisco to Los Angeles. So I hope everything worked out for them as well. For a while, it was pretty... Everybody was tired. Some people were cranky. It was a very tense situation. But I always try and remember the story. I think it was Stephen Covey mentioned it, that until you know all the facts, you have a choice between an action and your reaction, and that is the choice. So I didn't let myself fall into that. It was, you know, who knows why this guy's upset, and it was for a very valid reason. So I can't blame him, and I did not get upset. But I hope everything worked out for them. Got to LAX, little bit of a mess up there because the plane landed at Terminal 7. My paperwork said go to Terminal 4. There's a shuttle that runs around there about every 15 minutes. I chose to walk because it was about the same time. Walked to Terminal 4, and I only had about an hour and 15 minute layover, some of which was consumed walking to Terminal 4. The Midwest counters were nowhere in sight. I asked one of the employees, where's the Midwest counter? They said, oh, at night, we fly via Northwest in Terminal 2. Where's Terminal 2? If it's any further than... I said, is it just two more down? She says, no, it's kind of across the parking lot, or you can take the A shuttle. Walked outside. This gentleman was very helpful in getting me there. I walked over to Terminal 2, found the plane, long security line, got my boarding pass, and hopped on the plane. Got minimal sleep last night, but maybe an hour or two on a four-hour flight. And we got home. It was very well done. Now, today is test day for Lisa's karate. I have no doubt she will do very well. I'm getting home earlier than expected. I think I told her I'd be home just about 9 o'clock. She's going to go do her last hour of community service. And hopefully I can get her out of bed and make her pancakes, which is one of her favorites, before her big day. So with that, I'm on my way home, passing by some bison, which you don't see in Wisconsin very often. But there's one place up here on US 41. Coming up on Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That is freestyle. That is a recap of my week. Very wonderful week again. Thank you, everybody. And until next time, 101.